welcome to a special presentation of Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance, and showcase good people doing good business and good things. This is our signature segment, The Massey Memo, with our expert contributor, Robert Massey, attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. Robert delivers The Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. His engaging and entertaining personality gives the boring law just the jolt it needs to make you want to tune in and learn to better play the hand you've been dealt in this game we call life. Enjoy the show. Everything Home, the transformational show where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. We're a resource and community that shares stories, lets passions be heard, and showcases good people doing good business and good things. We've created a platform where you can do something to change your life or the life of another person, where thoughts, passions, and emotions are given an action that actually becomes a reality and makes a difference. It's a place where the community can learn from and support its own members. We deliver authenticity, celebrate heroes, and bring together a like-minded audience. The mission of our movement? Enhance the quality of your life. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Talk Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow Everything Home on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This is our expert contributor segment, The Massey Memo, with Robert Massey, our attorney, solution provider, and protector of the people at Massey and Massey Attorneys at Law. And Robert will be delivering The Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. Today's topic, proactive personal injury, how insurance is your best friend and enemy. First my joke, then on with the show. A husband calls his wife and says, "Honey, it's me. I don't want to alarm you, but I was hit by a car as I was leaving the office, and Paula brought me to the hospital. They checked me over, and they've done some tests and some x-rays, and that blow to my head was really severe. Fortunately, it didn't cause any serious internal injuries. However, I do have 3 broken ribs, a compound fracture in my left leg, and I think they might have to amputate my foot." The wife's response, "Who the beep is Paula?" My little delay on the drum roll. I'm trying to look for a beep because I, you know, that's an F word is the response, but I kind of just I flopped a little on that. So I got to work on that transition segue. But I figured sometimes the errors that are created with my humor is a little bit more entertaining sometimes than the joke. So
exactly.
Well, I don't think we need to introduce our friend there any more than I already have. And you know what? I keep repeating the protector of the people. So I hope that you're getting used to your superhero strengths and characteristics. And I'm assuming you're wearing your cape today, Robert.
Absolutely. No, I like the nomenclature that comes with it. It's fantastic. So yes, trying to live up to those very broad standards, so I appreciate it very much.
I'm keeping you on your toes and at the same time giving you the recognition that you deserve, so I believe it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes, and I appreciate it. Thank you. So and I think we have a good topic in store for today, everyone's favorite topic, insurance. Buddy loves insurance.
I'm glad that you wanted to bring this up. It's one of the areas that you specialize in. And I think that especially in this day and age, the personal injury and even insurance, it covers so many things. And so many things in our lives are intertwined with it at so many different levels. And a lot can go wrong. It's a numbers game. Something is going to go sideways at some point. So at least be a little bit more prepared for when it does. And then hopefully once you're trying to deal with it, it's not going to be as bad. So let's get on with the show. Proactive personal injury, how insurance is your best friend and enemy, and how to be prepared for when it happens to you or against you.
We do several areas of practice at my firm, but our main area of practice, probably what makes up about 60% of our business, is personal injury cases. And anybody that drives around Las Vegas or pretty much any town nowadays, you see the personal injury advertisements everywhere for personal injury attorneys. And, you know, it's pretty overwhelming with the amount of attorneys that do personal injury nowadays. And it's given a bad name almost to personal injury attorneys. A lot of people didn't even know my dad did personal injury. He did it for 35 years. And he always really kept a boutique practice with the personal injury cases because he wanted to make sure to give people, you know, the face-to-face attention that they deserve and that's really needed in cases like this. But it also gave him an opportunity when he really built a relationship with these people to provide them some of the information that I'm going to go over today about insurance and different things that you need to watch out for and know about, so, you know, maybe you don't get yourself stuck in some of these situations. Because when it comes to specifically, we'll start with, you know, the most common personal injury case. The first thing that pops into anybody's mind is a car accident. And that is a majority of the business that we do. And when you're in a car accident, I mean, one of the first things that you are going to reach for and you're going to ask for from the other person is their insurance information. So insurance plays a very, very big role in car accidents and in personal injury cases because, first of all, obviously, you have your car insurance. The biggest problem with people and their car insurance is they go to whoever they're getting their insurance from, whether it's a online or an in-person broker, whoever it might be, and they say, hey, I need car insurance, and say, yeah, okay, so it's going to cost me this, and okay, well, I'll get that, and that's it. It's based off of the premium that they're going to have to pay every month rather than the actual coverage that it's going to provide them. And look, I completely understand that. I do the same thing. Obviously, you have a specific amount of money that you're able to spend on a monthly basis. And while you would like to have the policy that gives you the maximum amount of protection, a lot of people can't afford that. And that is completely understandable. But it is so important to whatever premium, whatever policy, excuse, that you're going to choose and have it based on what you can afford, you need to understand what that policy provides you and the protections that it provides you. Because I can't tell you how many times we'll get a case and I'll have a client and we'll look at their insurance policy and tell them what their coverage is, and they'll say, there's no way that's possible. It has to be more than that. And then when, you know, we tell them, no, you know, we reviewed everything, this is what it is, they can't believe it. So in Nevada, and most states, all states have basically a bare minimum of what you have to have, what your car insurance has to cover. And what that means is for a car accident. So in Nevada, our bare minimum policy is 25, 50, and 20. And what those numbers mean is you have 25,000, and I should say 25,000, 50,000, and 20,000 are the numbers. We just for short call it 25, 50, 20. The 25,000 is the maximum amount that an individual can get for an injury that was caused by that party. 50,000 is the total amount that policy will pay out for multiple parties being injured. And the 20,000 is what's covered for property damage. Now, before I go forward, my firm, we don't handle the property damage side of our clients' cases. The reason being is a lot of times there is a problem with the amount being that is set forth in the policy might not be enough to cover all the damage to the car, or it might be just enough. And I don't want to take fees off of the property damage side for people that's going to end up going to result in them coming out of pocket to have to repair their car. And secondly, the property damage side is pretty straightforward, and it's something that can very easily be handled by the individual themselves. Now, there are people that we can send, that we send our clients to if they can't handle it on their own, that will handle it for them, sometimes for a percentage, sometimes for a nominal fee. It just depends. But we personally don't handle the property damage side. We handle the injury side. So the $25,000, $50,000, and $20,000 is the minimum in Nevada. What that means is your policy has to cover that. That has to be it. That does not mean that you can't have exponentially more coverage than that, but you have to at least have that. That's the minimum policy. So if you have, if you go to your car insurance fee, wherever you buy it, and that's the policy you have, and God forbid you get in a car accident with someone that has a minimum, excuse, let me go back first. Before I get into that, let me go back. Your policy is then, on top of that, that that's what, if an adverse, if someone, if you cause an accident, that's what they're going to be able to get from your policy. $25,000 for an individual, $50,000 total. You then have the uninsured and underinsured motorist side of your policy, which is if you get into a car accident with someone that has a minimum policy, and that minimum policy doesn't cover all of your medical expenses, which I will discuss in detail, then your, you have built into your policy what you can get from your own insurance company, because the adverse driver that caused the accident didn't have enough insurance to cover your damages fully. So you then put a claim in against your own insurance company under your uninsured or underinsured motorist policy. And those policy limits can vary, but again, it's an area that people don't look at. They don't take the time to make sure that they're comfortable with the amount of coverage that they have. So I know I'm throwing a lot of numbers out and a lot of different stuff, so let me put it into a concrete explanation here. So you're driving along, you get into an accident, somebody runs a red light and hits you. They have a minimum policy. The accident caused some significant injuries. Say you broke your arm and you broke your leg. You have to be transported via ambulance. You had to have surgery on your arm and your leg. And you're in the hospital for a week. And you have to get physical therapy for 3 months. Go see a chiropractor. And there's potential for a surgery down the road, okay? Maybe you have to have another surgery in 6 months. So the medical stay that you had based on those injuries is significant. I mean, I don't need to tell anybody how much just a transportation via ambulance from a scene costs. I mean, you're most of the time looking at $5,000 or $6,000. And then if you have to stay, I mean, there's going to be significant medical bills from a car accident like that. But the adverse driver only has a minimal policy. The most you're going to be able to get out of them if you're an individual is $25,000. So what happens? Well, unfortunately, at that point, it would be relied on your uninsured and underinsured motorist policy under your own car insurance. And let's say it's $100,000, what you can get from your underinsured, okay? And let's just say that with all those say there's $300,000 in medical expenses, okay? So you get $25,000 from the adverse driver. Now you have $100,000 from your own policy. You're still far below. Just, we're not even talking about being compensated for your pain and suffering. We're just talking about making up what you had to either spend out of pocket or potentially, hopefully, you had health insurance, which we'll also discuss, that covered your bills, and it was $300,000. You're only $125,000. So what happens then? A lot of people think, well, now we're just going to go sue them. Not how it works. What happens then is that's it. You are essentially, for lack of a better term, SOL. And that's all you're going to get is $125,000. You have injuries that are potentially going to affect you for the rest of your life. And you weren't even able to get fully compensated for the medical bills, all because you didn't look at your policy correctly. You didn't fully understand what the coverage you had. Look, you can't avoid getting hit by someone with a minimal policy. You just can't. There's no way to avoid that. You can't avoid what they're going to do, but you can control what you're going to do to make sure and to know that this is a huge issue. This is an issue that I deal with in my practice probably on a biweekly basis, where I have a case where the policy limits are not going to come close to compensating my client for the injuries that they have sustained. And there is nothing we can do about that, because can you go and sue these people? You absolutely can. Here's the problem. If you're going to go file a lawsuit, you can't have it both ways. You can't take the insurance money and then go and sue them, okay? So if you're going to go and sue them, you're rejecting the offer from the insurance company and you're suing them individually. Well, if someone has a minimal policy, if the person that hit you had a minimal policy, the chances of them having assets that are going to compensate you in a lawsuit is very unlikely. So what we do here at the firm is, if this is the situation that we're in, we can have a company run a very basic asset check of an individual, which pulls up, you know, if they own any businesses, any properties that they own, et cetera, to kind of let us know, look, is this worth pursuing? Is there something there that we can attach some type of judgment to? Because also, and I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, people need to understand that a judgment is just that. It's a piece of paper that says you have a judgment for this amount. That's it. It's not like the defendant comes up to you that day and writes you a check for the amount on that judgment. You still have to go and collect from that individual. So, and the collection part is sometimes the most difficult part. So if we are going to turn down the insurance money and we're going to pursue this person individually, we need to make damn sure that this is someone that we can get something out of, and it's worth leaving the money on the table, because chances are the insurance money is the greatest amount of money that you're going to get in that situation. Because I haven't been fooled yet, but anytime I'm dealing with a minimal policy, I've never had an asset check come back and say, this person has multiple properties and multiple things that we could attach a judgment to. It's kind of a catch-22 in that situation, because someone that hits you that has a good policy that's going to fully compensate you for the injuries that you've sustained, those are usually the individuals that are going to have assets that you can go after. But you don't need to in those circumstances, because their policy took care of it. So So it's kind of a catch-22 with these things. And again, you can't help who hits you. You can't stop other people's negligence, unfortunately. But the biggest key when it comes to car insurance, when you are the one being hit, is the uninsured and underinsured motorist part of the policy. And you have to make sure that you review that section of your policy, that you make sure that you're comfortable with the limits that you are paying for on a monthly basis. Because I'm telling you, this is a very big issue, and it happens all the time. And if you, you know, also just have a minimal underinsured and uninsured motorist policy, or if you don't have one at all, then the only thing you're most likely going to get is from the adverse driver. The other thing, even though I don't do the property damage side of things, please make sure and check your policy to make sure that your policy covers a rental car, because it happens all the time that I have a client that thought their policy covered a rental car and it doesn't. And then, you know, if you get in a car accident and it totals your car, you might be without a car for a month, especially if you're involved in a lawsuit. And so you're paying for a rental car out of pocket for, you know, maybe 30, 45, 60 days, which we can try and build into the back, you know, to the back of the settlement. But if you're dealing with policy limits, you know, it's going to end up being completely out of pocket. So that's a big thing to look for as well. Now, for coverage, if you are the at-fault driver, it's essentially the same thing. You need to be comfortable with the limits that you're paying for every month, because while it's it might be unlikely that a lawsuit's filed, it happens every day. And, you know, people do it all the time. So if you don't want to be in a position where, you know, you're dealing with a lawsuit for a year and a half or 2 or 3 years, you need to make sure you're comfortable with the policy limits on your policy. So if you do cause an accident, that your limits are going to fully compensate the party that you hit. And look, I mean, I completely understand that there's really no way to know. There's no way to know, oh, okay, $100,000 is going to fully compensate someone that I get in a car accident with, because you never know what type of injuries they're going to have. You never know what kind of health the person is in to begin with. So, I mean, there's no way of knowing this, but it's a conversation to be had with whoever you're buying insurance from to say, look, you know, I want to make sure that there is a very high likelihood that I will be covered. Most car accidents don't result in devastating injuries that require a hospital stay or surgeries. Most car accidents might cause some, you know, muscle strains or whiplash or soft tissue injuries. Those are what most car accidents, that's the injuries that occur. So you want to be comfortable with the limits that you're paying for, because you don't want to have to be dealing with a lawsuit. So when we're talking about car insurance, I cannot tell you how much just taking a little bit of extra time, speaking with your insurance broker, or spending a little bit more time investigating different policies online, however you're purchasing it, how much it will pay off in the end, because this does happen. There is going to be a time where you need your car insurance policy and you need it to work for you. And, you need to know what your coverage is. And it's, and you need to choose the insurance company wisely as well. Because, and look, I'm not gonna name names here, but there are a lot of major insurance companies that spend a lot of marketing dollars trying to get you in the door. And when it comes time to work on your behalf, they're only thinking about themselves, and they're only thinking about their bottom line. And over the past couple of years, I have noticed a marketable change to situations where if there is clear liability, I mean, I could have a video and I could have three witnesses saying someone caused the accident, and I have had insurance companies deny liability and refuse to pay anything. So essentially what they've done is they've gotten you in the door, they've gotten you to pay your premium every month, but when it came time to work on your behalf and get this matter settled out of court so you don't have to deal with it, they were only thinking about themselves. Happens all the time. So, you know, you need to also research the insurance company that you are getting your policy from. And I mean, this really just comes down to the fact that you can't base this decision solely on what your premium is going to be. And again, what I said at the beginning, I get that that is a major consideration for this decision, but it has to go beyond that. It has to go, am I going to be properly covered? Am I comfortable with that coverage? Am I dealing with a company that I'm confident with is going to rightfully represent me when this happens? Those questions need to be asked. And you need to just take that extra couple minutes, do the appropriate research, ask the appropriate questions, and get yourself a policy that will most likely cover you. And you won't have to deal with people coming after you individually. And you won't have to deal with policy limits that aren't going to fully cover you for a car accident that you didn't cause. All you did is suffer from it. And now it's almost like you're getting punished twice. So, you know, when it comes to car insurance and car accidents, it's, you know, like I said, it's something that I'm seeing a lot more of with these policy limits and the having limits issues. And I know it's something that Bob dealt with a lot. So it's really, it's something that I keep repeating certain things, but it's really because I can't stress it enough to people to take the actions that I'm recommending and to just make sure that the coverage is appropriate.
Well, I'm glad that you brought that up, because sometimes the lowest bidder isn't the best person or the company for the job. It's almost like, you know, like when government contracts, they always give it to the lowest bidder. Well, you know, if somebody was working on, I was going to a carnival or a fair, and the lowest bidder was the guy who was going to put together the Ferris wheel, I don't know if I'd want to go on the Ferris wheel, because it went to the company that was going to put together the lowest bid, and he was the guy that was going to construct something that I was going to go on. So, you know, bringing up the point that yes, money is a factor, but a lot of the times, as we mentioned in a past show about different riders of having things, additional things covered under your insurance, sometimes per month is not that much to cover thousands, if not tens of thousands of dollars, to avoid the situations that you're running into. And as you mentioned, it's more common that you're going to get pushback from the insurance company. And it also, from what I'm getting, it sounds like there's a lot more underinsured drivers on the street. So you've got to really as you mentioned, kind of protect yourself and be proactive, because you don't know what's going to happen. I mean, are you going to hit a Mercedes with somebody who makes a lot of money? I don't know. I have a feeling you're going to hit something else before that, you know, that one lucky shot comes across. You get to be selective on who you're going to hit, who's going to hit you, or who you're going to hit. But, you know, even mention the hospital bills, and we all know this from just even going to the doctor's office, hospital bills are expensive. It's very expensive if anything that has to do with medical, and these cars are very expensive. So even if you hit somebody that is comparable to you when it comes to the coverage, but the car is ending up costing more, or just even the medical things, well, then you're on the hook. And either you're the one that got hit and you don't have enough to cover, or vice versa. And now what do you do? So, I mean, it's really important to dive in deep and to see what coverage that there is, and then the difference if you just had it to add some more on, because otherwise, you know, we'd love to work with you, Robert, but if we could be proactive enough that we can avoid situations where you don't necessarily need the attorney, because you kind of did the proactive move that you're, you know, encouraging everyone to take a look at, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, even at the insurance stage, and I mean, this is somewhat a self-serving statement, but as you know, if you have good coverage and you're not going to end up in a lawsuit, even at the insurance stage, when it comes to a car accident, you have to have legal representation, because you will notice a vast difference as to how these insurance companies deal with an individual just trying to negotiate a settlement on their own compared to an attorney. They, even if you're dealing with your own policy and trying to get to your own uninsured or underinsured motorist policy, they will screw around with you. They won't respond to you. They will keep requesting different documents. It's unbelievable the things I've seen of what they do to individuals, and then they'll bring it to me to take over the case, and I look at it, and it's just, you know, these insurance companies just don't handle things a lot of times the way they should. And look, there's some fantastic insurance companies too that are quick to respond and easy to deal with. So, you know, it's just like any other profession. There's the good, there's the bad, and there's the ugly. But you know, even at the insurance stage, you need representation. But you also hit on something else that I want to discuss. And I know I discussed it a bit in regards to the medical bills, but health insurance as well that people have. And there's a lot of people now that are choosing not to have health insurance, just pay the penalty tax. I know they call it a tax. It's a penalty. And choose not to have health insurance. You need to understand that these medical bills are most likely going to far exceed what you can afford out of your own pocket. So if you don't have health insurance and you can't afford to just pay out of pocket, and you're involved and these injuries are from a car accident, what happens is these doctors, and some doctors will refuse to do this. Some doctors will categorically say, I'm not treating injuries from a personal injury case. But a lot of them do. And the way it works is that they work on what's called a lien. And what that means is that they essentially take an interest in the settlement of the case. And they get paid off the top of what is settled for. So, for example, say you went to an urgent care, and the doctor at the urgent care recommended that you needed to go see a chiropractor. And the total bill at the chiropractor was $5,000. You don't have health insurance, and you can't pay him out of pocket. So they do it on a lien. And say we settle for $20,000, okay? that $5,000 comes off the top of that 20, and then the attorney's fees come out and the costs, and then what's left over the client gets. So if you don't have health insurance that can't cover these costs for you, it's going to affect what you're able to get at the end through any type of settlement, because these healthcare providers, trust me, they want to get paid, and they make sure they get paid. There's a big reason why, you know, one of the largest debts that's affecting credit scores all over the country is medical debt, because medical facilities go to great lengths to make sure that they get their money. So in addition to car insurance, and I know how, I mean, I know how expensive health insurance is. I know what it has a pain in the butt, and but it is so essential to have, I mean, not only for car accidents. Look, we're talking about this in the forum of car accidents, because that's, you know, that's the type of law that I do, but just for general kind of well-being and financial well-being, there is nothing quicker that can cause a family to be put into a situation where they have to file bankruptcy or just get stuck in a horrible financial situation other than medical debt, because you don't really have a choice. If something happens, you got to get it taken care of. You know, if it's an emergency, it's got to be taken care of. If you get in a car accident and you break both your legs, it needs to be taken care of. You don't want to just be left there. So, you know, the health insurance aspect of this is really something that people need to make sure that they have coverage for, at least some type of coverage, something that will allow you to be in a situation where you don't have all this money coming off the top of any type of settlement, that you're able to get the treatment necessary to get you back to where you were prior to the accident. I mean, honestly, one of the biggest problems that's happened with my profession in regards to PI cases is these people are just a number to these firms. Oh, this is case number so-and-so. Okay, yeah, let's do this, let's do that. You know, what I've been taught and the way I deal with clients is, you know, I'm invested in their well-being. My biggest concern and my first question always to my clients is how are you feeling? Are you rehabilitating properly? Do you need to go see another doctor? Is there anything we can do to help facilitate that to get you to another doctor? And the concentration on the personal well-being has really been lost in my profession, because it's all about, okay, let's get this case is worth this amount, let's get it settled, let's get it out the door and get them out of our lives. But these car accidents are things, you know, it's a traumatic event, number one, and it can impact you financially in a very vast way. If you don't have the proper car insurance, if you don't have the proper health insurance, like I said, it's almost like you're getting dinged twice. You had to suffer this traumatic event, you were injured, and now, out of no fault of your own, you are put in a bad financial situation. But at the end of the day, while the accident wasn't any fault of your own, the insurance part of it is stuff that's under your control. You can make sure that you have the proper coverage. So, again, just like the car insurance, take that extra time, make sure that you have coverage that is at least going to somewhat to provide you something to make sure that if any injuries like this occur, that you do have some type of coverage to help. And, you know, we're not having to pay out seven different doctors out of money that should be going into your pocket.
So the initial responsibility for everyone listening is to look at the policies and really determine what you have. But just listening to what you're saying, this is not something that you can go at alone after there is an accident. You're playing in a game where these companies, the insurance companies, whether what side it's on or even the medical insurance companies, they're billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars. And like you mentioned, you're just a number. So they're not looking out for your interest. They're just trying to move you through the system. And you definitely need an attorney to guide you through this, because there's too much, like you said, at risk from just your injuries, the liability. You don't want someone trying to come after your assets or your house, or even the other side making up stories to think because you have some money. I mean, it is something that I think that just this day and age, everything is so complex that you can't go at this alone ever when it comes to once there's an accident. And I'm sure you can second that from a human being standpoint. It has nothing to do with being an attorney.
Hey, absolutely. And you bring up a good point about after the fact, there's nothing to be done. I have that question asked to me all the time by clients. Well, can't I renegotiate different coverage with my insurance company? So they give me more coverage now. And now that this accident occurred, the answer is absolutely not. Once you have that policy, that coverage, and now you've gotten an accident, that's it. The coverage that you had at the time of that accident is the coverage. They're not going to renegotiate anything. You can't sue them for not letting you renegotiate anything. Now, if you have an uninsured or underinsured motorist policy and they refuse to provide you money under those limits to where you think they should, then you can sue the insurance company then and file a lawsuit. And in that case, you do know there's a pocket on the other end. You have this policy. For example, if you have $100,000, underinsured motorist policy and your medical bills were $100,000 and you only got $25,000 from the adverse driver, and your policy says, well, I'm only going to give you $1,000. I think you've been fully compensated. Well, then you can go and say, well, okay, and you can sue your insurance company on your policy because they are not appropriately handling your claim. But that doesn't change the policy limits. You're just suing under your own current policy limits and saying you feel you should be getting far more up to your policy limit than they're offering. But the coverage you have on the day of that accident is your coverage. There is nothing we can do about that. Now, once, we get to the point of settlement and the situation's resolved, if you were not happy with the coverage that you had and you want to go to your insurance company and renegotiate new limits for any accidents that would happen in the future, then you obviously can absolutely do that. And I would encourage you to do that, especially if you, were in a situation where there were significant policy limits. But at the time, there's nothing you can do. And it's unfortunate. I have that question asked to me all the time. And, this is not a hypothetical situation, guys. I promise you, this happens constantly. I will give you a very unfortunate example of a client I had that had pre-existing health conditions. He got in a car accident. He shattered his wrist. It made the pre-existing health conditions even worse, and he ended up having medical bills of about $200,000. And he is going to need future surgeries, multiple future surgeries. Excuse me, probably an estimate of close to $500,000 total of medical bills that he incurred and that are going to be incurred in the future. The other driver had a minimal policy. He got $25,000 from them. And the underinsured part of his policy gave him $50,000. So he incurred $200,000. He was going to incur another $300,000. He got $75,000. And that was it. We did an asset check. There was nothing there, nothing to do. That was it. That was the end of the road for that case. And this gentleman is stuck in this terrible position, and it's not easy as the attorney having to sit across from him and say, there's nothing else I can do for you. I wish there was. I truly, truly wish there was, but there is nothing else I can do for you. On top of the fact that he didn't have health insurance, so there was a good chunk of money that came off the top of the 75. You know, it just got everything I'm saying right now that could happen to this gentleman. And it literally, it just breaks your heart. It truly breaks your heart. But it is to a certain degree, at least, like I'm saying, there are things you can do to avoid it. And I really encourage everyone to do those things.
I'm glad that you keep emphasizing how important it is that people take this into consideration, because you're seeing it every day. And as we're going through our lives, we're going to work, there's kids, there's activities, there's travel, da da da. But you're in the trenches every single day, and it sounds like the issues are only increasing. The problems are getting worse. And you don't want to have those conversations like you just had with your client. And hopefully it's in people that it just do the check and see what the difference is, and at least be prepared on your end, meaning the listeners, so that once they do have an issue and they are calling you, you have as much ammunition to work with as you possibly can to help them, as opposed to having that conversation. I'm sorry, there's nothing else that we can do. And now what?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the 2550 policy, minimum policy limit in Nevada, that actually just got increased about 18 months ago. Before, it was 1530. So, I mean, there were some really bad situations before, but, you know, it's only, you know, a $10,000, $20,000 increase. So, you know, we're still seeing a lot of it, but it's just, you know, insurance in general is something that it's a pest to people. You know, people don't want to have to deal with it. And I totally get it. I don't want to have to deal with it. It's a big pain. And, you know, you don't know what type of coverage you have. You don't know what's fully covered. But, you know, it is definitely worth taking the time. And, you know, going kind of on to other types of cases that I deal with and that I've seen, you know, things that happen in your home, if you have people that are there as guests, and something happens and they're somehow injured, you know, those are things that can be covered and should be covered by your homeowner's insurance. And that is another area where people, you know, they have to have homeowner's insurance, so they get, okay, what's the cheapest policy? Okay, fine. And then that's it. And then something happens and they realize it's not covered. For example, beyond even injuries, and I believe I discussed this a little bit a couple of episodes ago, but, you know, a lot of times, especially here in Las Vegas, and I know the construction is similar, Michelle, in Arizona, where the houses are very close together. In Vegas, you get communities where the houses are right on top of each other. And what that creates, or what it can create, is neighborly disputes. Let's just say it kindly, where, you know, resident A's tree is growing over the wall of resident B into resident B's house, and he's not happy about it, and the roots on the tree are causing the wall to be cracked, and it's just a huge issue back and forth that one person's property is causing damage to the other. It's a nuisance to their property. If you review your homeowner's insurance properly prior to getting it, and you make sure that the coverage is appropriate, if you get into situations like that, that situation can be fully covered by your homeowner's insurance, not only in regards to damages, but also in regards to the retention of an attorney to file on your behalf. I had someone probably about 2 years ago who had a situation like this, where there was a tree in his neighbor's backyard coming onto his property. The roots were causing problems, and he had been with another attorney and had paid this attorney a very substantial amount of money up to that point, in six figures up to that point. He was unhappy with the attorney, and he was looking for a new attorney. And he came and he met with me and my dad, and the first thing we said to him is, have you contacted your homeowner's insurance? And he said, well, why would I do that? And we said, well, they, you know, if it's under your policy, it may be covered that they would represent you, and the attorney's fees are covered under your policy. He had no idea. No one had ever said anything to him about that. Never knew it was even a possibility. He went, contacted his homeowner's insurance. It was covered. They retained an attorney for him. The issue ended up being resolved for no further money out of his pocket. But, I mean, he could have saved a very substantial amount of money in attorney's fees if he just would have understood his homeowner's insurance policy and known what was in there and what was covered. And, you know, it goes back to the same kind of topic that we're discussing here of just understanding what's covered, understanding what's there. And, I mean, I think homeowner's insurance is probably it's probably worse than the other two, to be honest. You know, car insurance and health insurance, I think people generally would have some type of idea, you know, what their deductibles are and what's covered and what's, you know, with health insurance, what's out of network and what's in network and all that kind of stuff. Homeowners insurance, I think if you ask most people, they have no idea, myself included, initially. I mean, you know, I don't know what's covered by my homeowner's insurance, you know, what the details are and et cetera. But you can – look, you're paying these premiums every single month. It's part of your monthly budget. So you need to be using them to your advantage fully. And – I can't tell you how much people don't do that. They don't use the tool that they're paying for fully the way they should, because they just don't know. It's just either misinformation or not knowing or not having the time, which, again, I'm not casting aspersions on anyone here whatsoever. So please don't take it that way. I mean, I get it. Life gets in the way. You get tied up with things. You don't, you know, you have 100 other things going on. The last thing you want to worry about is what are the details of your homeowner's insurance policy. Trust me, I get it. But it's really something that can benefit you, and it's just worth the time. It's worth taking the time to understand. But, you know, again, while that situation may happen, if it's a neighborly dispute, you know, people can get injured in your home. People can fall and cut themselves, and you know, they can slip and fall on water that was spilled, whatever it might be, that would open you up to liability. And, you know, even situations where you can be viewed as, you know, someone actually trespasses onto your land, but it can be viewed as you were almost inviting them onto the land in some sense. And that's a very factual scenario. But, you know, you could be liable for even that, even someone on your land that wasn't invited as a guest, where all of a sudden you're opened up to liability. So these are all types of cases that I handle, that I deal with, and I see the horror stories right in front of my face and what people have to go through and what they deal with. I see that it's avoidable, and that's really the main reason why I want to share the information, because it is, to a certain degree, it is avoidable. People just need to take the time to know what their coverage is and to take advantage of it. You're paying for it anyway. You might as well take advantage of it.
I think great points and great information. And as every time that you are talking about specific things, I'm thinking about my own scenarios when I don't have the answer, when I should be able to just share it and be like, well, in my policy, it's this. So, and if it's something that I'm involved in much more often than the average person, that just makes you realize, and like you said, you're not out there to try to make people feel bad about not knowing it. I bet you it's 99% of the people have no idea what the specifics are on even some of the stuff that really is the most important. Because I'm thinking to myself right now, I couldn't rattle off some of my own things. And that's just making for when something does go sideways, make it even worse. So, I mean, just look at the policies, have an evaluation, try to figure out what's going on, and maybe once a year, double check on everything just to touch base, just to see, remind yourself so that you just kind of know. And if your situation changes where you can even add on additional coverage, then that's an option. Let's just say, for example,
absolutely,
at what point, Robert, let's just say that there is a car accident. When do they pick up the phone and say, even if they didn't have to go to the hospital, but then all of a sudden something, they feel issues later, at what point did they pick up the phone and call you and say, all right, I just got in a car accident. We did the exchange of the information. Maybe the one person went in the ambulance, except it wasn't anything major. Do they call mm-hmm. when they get home? Do they call while they're still on the side of the road? Because, you know, it's not that, I don't want to say you don't trust anybody when it comes to the other party or the insurance companies or the other attorneys, but I don't trust anybody in the mix because you don't know if they're really doing it for agenda, for money, for whomever, whatever the situation may be. So you need somebody on your side. So you're saying call, your second phone call really should be you. Okay.
Yeah, immediately. So, you know, obviously, if you have my number, hopefully, or an attorney's number with you right then you can call them at the scene. It's certainly not necessary to call them at the scene, unless you may have questions as to what to get. But the main rule of thumb is if you're involved in a car accident, get the other person's information, obviously. If the police are called, make sure to get the file number so we can request the police report. If there are any witnesses, and this is very important, if there are any witnesses on the scene that either come up to you or you see or whatever it might be, get their name and contact information, because a lot of times having a witness statement compared to not, obviously it makes the dealing with the insurance company most of the time exponentially better. Because if there is any type of question as to liability and there is no third party witness, then you're dealing with a circumstance where it's just your word against theirs, and that makes things more difficult. It makes them more drawn out. But if you have a witness statement, you know someone's there and has witnessed it, get their name, their contact info, and provide that to us when you come see us. The other reason it's so important to, you know, come see us as soon as possible is we can help facilitate, get you to doctors if you need certain treatment. It's hard to get doctor's appointments sometimes where you'll call and say, hey, I'm injured, I need treatment. And they say, oh, we don't have an available appointment for you know, 4 weeks or whatever, we can help facilitate that a little bit and get you in so you can start getting treated. The other thing with car accidents, if you are injured, it's very important that you begin treatment right away and you stay in treatment and you keep it consistent, obviously for as long as it's needed. I am in no way saying just treat and treat and treat, even when you don't need it. No, but it is important to, if you have injuries, just for yourself, to make sure that you get on top of whatever injuries were sustained so you have a better chance of getting them resolved quicker. You want to get in right away, get the treatment started, and, you know, we can help facilitate that. But those are the main things when you're in a car accident, just the general information of the driver, their insurance information, the file number for the police report, and any witnesses. And obviously, if it's a situation where you have to be transported to the hospital, then obviously that's not a possibility. But if the accident is that extreme, the police will be called, and all that information will be included in the police report. So you don't need to be frantic and worried. The main concern, especially in a situation like that, is your health and making sure you're taken care of. So, you know, that will all be included in the police report. But call us immediately. As soon as it's reasonable for you to get on the phone with us and say, hey, I just got in a car accident, this is the situation, we can get you scheduled, get you in here, get all the information we need, get you signed up, and get working on the case and putting everything together. It can be a slow process. A lot of it depends on the treatment that's needed, because the insurance company for the injuries isn't going to start negotiating until the client's treatment is done. So if the client is in chiropractic care, for example, and they know they're going to have to be in it for 2 months, 2.5 months, until they are out of treatment, we don't send a demand letter, because that's going to be the full extent of your damages, is, you know, the medical expenses and the full pain and suffering. Now, I'm not talking about a situation where, say, it was a bad car accident, someone had to have surgery, and the doctor says there's a good chance that sometime in the future you're going to have another treatment. I'm not saying that doesn't get negotiated until that future surgery. No, that future surgery will be taken into account during negotiations, but in that case, this is just something that, hey, it could be 2 years from now, it could be 5 years from now, but, you know, a surgery would be needed. That doesn't halt the negotiations. But being in active treatment, we won't start the negotiations until they're out of treatment. It can be, you know, it's a process. It does take some time. And I obviously have that conversation up front with all of my clients to make them aware that, you know, this is kind of how things will move. And sometimes a few weeks or a month will go by and nothing's happening. That's completely natural. It's completely normal. But we still stay in constant contact with our clients. And, you know, if you are in this situation currently and you have representation, and months go by and you don't hear from your attorney, that's not natural. You know, that's can it be natural that nothing happens? Sure. Yeah, there could be a couple months where nothing happens, but staying up, you're still entitled to kind of know what the status of everything is. And in these situations, at least I've found that communication is kind of key, and people just want to know you're on top of things. They want to know nothing's slipping through the cracks. Don't think you're a pest. Don't think you're any type of problem. I tell every one of my clients that comes in here, this is your case. I'm just here to help facilitate it. So you are entitled to all of the information, everything that's going on. And if you're not receiving that from your attorney, whoever's representing you, then there's a problem there. And, you know, you need to reach out and say, hey, you know, I need to know what's going on here. Now, should you call every day? No, you know, but as long as there's reasonable communication, that's important. That's definitely important.
You've shared some incredibly, which at some case might be life-changing information for people. And it's just so important that everybody just gets, like, you know, the topic of the show, proactive personal injury. How insurance is your best friend and your enemy. You got to dive into it at some point. So, Robert, this is why I call you the protector of the people. You know,
I'm just
you got
trying
the cape
to live
on.
Up to the name.
You got the cape on, and you're just really trying to help people. So I appreciate it. Another great episode. And, you know, if we could change one life from this show, that's kind of all that matters. You know, obviously, we would like to help more, but we'll take one at a time, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, again, my number at the office is 702-870-1100. You can also go to Massey, M-A-S-S-I, and Massey.com, and all our information's there. You can schedule an appointment through the website as well. If you're in an accident, please give us a call. Happy to help. Please take the information, and I hope it was helpful to people, and use it, and I hope it benefits everyone.
Sure, it definitely will. Swinnick and Massey out!
Another great episode with my good friend, Robert Massey. Robert will be delivering the Massey Memo on the first and third Fridays of every month. All of our guests and experts' information and their shows are listed on our website, everythinghometalkshow.com. We encourage you to check it out and begin to use it as a resource to meet, hire, and learn from good people doing good business and good things. Just click anywhere on their banners and enjoy the show. You can also listen and subscribe to Everything Home on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM, and Blog Dog Radio. We're making it very easy and convenient for you to listen to us and enhance the quality of your life. And remember to like and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And feel free to send us an email or message on which topics you want to hear about and which guests you want to learn from. I appreciate you listening. Make it a great day, everybody.